Okay, our speaker today is Elena, and her topic is God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Take it away.
Thank you. All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Elena. I'm a recovering chaos creator, controller, fixer, codependent, the whole thing. I'm also a very grateful recovered compulsive eater and exercise bulimic. And thank you, Amy B., for asking me to speak. And I just love you. You've been a huge part of my recovery. So thank you. I'm so nervous today, but I just completed a chaos creating workshop. So this is my first time speaking at any BBA meeting at all. So to be honest, I don't really feel qualified at all. I do know that God has been doing for me what I historically have not been able to do for myself. So I thought that's what the topic should be, because trusting God and allowing God in and making God a part of my every thought and my every action and my every decision, that might come easy for some. But for me, the process of becoming dependent on God has been the smallest shift that has made the biggest impact in my recovery. So please bear with me. There's so much more for me to learn, and God is working overtime on this perfectionism thing that I got going on. So I guess, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about how chaos creating shows up for me in my life. I spent my whole life creating chaos and then creating situations that I can fix and control. And I do that mostly, I saw for the first time in the workshop that I really did that with food and with relationships. So I got high off of food. I got high to the point of over 300 pounds, which then created an emergency for me to fix. I had to get the weight off. And then I'd, you know, first get high. And I never knew this until the workshop, but I get high off of that frantic, obsessive thinking about my weight, about my body. I'd get high over the exercise and the attention I got while losing weight. You know, the whole reason why I wanted to lose weight was to prove others wrong. And I needed to control the way that others thought and felt about me. And I needed to prove myself to everyone. And all this chaos made me feel comfortable, because that is all I saw growing up, was complete chaos in my home. So I got down to, I mean, what some would say a normal weight, but the mental twist and the codependency was still there. And by this time, I was in a relationship and just a dry drunk, like very none at all, like no emotional sobriety. And I am no walk in the park to be married to, I will tell you that. So I was thinking about BBA, and the concept of chaos creating was so mind-blowing to me, because in the food, you know, abstinence and recovery is very clear. It's like either I am or I'm not. And the results show on my body. Either I'm very heavy, or I'm the weight I am now, or with exercise, I'm either making myself sick, or I'm in, you know, exercising in a right-sized way. So it was very black and white to me. And I love black and white. I love perfect. I love results. I like seeing a perfect 4 ounces. When I weigh my food, it's not 3.9, it's not 4.1, right? And I love the adrenaline I get when I look at my calendar and it's like hour to hour, I have something back to back. And those things I saw just made me feel worthy enough to even be on this earth. If I'm not productive, why am I here? But with BBA, it's very different. There's no perfect abstinence. There's no real measure for me. I can't call myself recovered, to be honest. And it's been very sloppy and very beautiful at the same time. And I'm grateful that, and a lot of these people are here today, that God put, I say, the most beautiful people in the workshop, because I was so completely unfamiliar with what a chaos creator is. And they were so eloquent, and they shared in a way that I saw myself so clearly for the first time. It was like a cannon just shot into me, and I always say to myself, I don't remember anything from my childhood, but all of a sudden it's like these memories just started flooding and just started like replaying. I can't explain it. It was like for the first time I saw what was underneath all these things that I used to do my whole life, like with codependency and with food, and every single example of creating chaos was like playing on a TV. And my mind was just blown. And it was just an incredible feeling to be so dumbfounded and not know the answer and to not know how the hell like I was going to tackle all of this. Like in my mind, I'm like, how am I going to tackle all this? And it's actually great how the workshop happened for me, because how I operate in the world was like out on display in the workshop. And so I showed up for every meeting with my notebook and my binder and my workbooks, and I was bright eyed and ready with my assignments done. And I love to share my results and what I got out of the assignments, right? Like I was a star student. Actually, you know, the transcribing part of it, now that I think back, was like a high for me. It was very satisfying. It was busy work. I would bring my books with me to my son's soccer practices and just get the transcriptions done. I love checking off the box. And to be completely honest, I also saw for the first time, like how I isolate, and bringing that work to my son's practices gave me a reason to hide and not socialize with the other parents, which I feel very uncomfortable doing. That is not, you know, I'm not a playdate mom. I never have been. I'm terrified of people. So this way, you know, if I don't speak to them, then I decrease my chances of like saying something weird or them thinking I'm weird and them like abandoning me and then nobody likes me. And so this is like the process that goes on in my head. So I'm moving along with the workshop and everything was perfect. I had my BBA checkmark. I had heard, you know, some horror stories about people's experiences and how they cried and they went through like so many things in steps 1 through 3. And that it just wasn't happening for me like at all. You know, and I'm thinking like, what am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm not getting this. And so I was getting used to the idea coming out of step 3 that God would not only help me with my adrenaline problem, but God would help me with all of my problems. And there was nothing for me to do, like nothing that I could do anymore about it. And I didn't quite trust that. And that was a very, very radical idea for me. But then we get to steps 4 and 5 and my grandmother dies. And that's where things started to get really interesting for me. And all of this controlling, fixing was right in my face for me to deal with. And what was actually happening in the back of my mind while I'm dealing with the death of my grandmother, all I could do was just beat myself up. And if I got anything out of this like workshop and what I'm understanding, beating myself up is probably the number one way that I get my adrenaline fix. And I'd say to myself, Elena, you're falling behind on your assignments. You're gonna let them down. You're gonna look bad. Your 4th step isn't done. Oh my God, they're moving on. They're on their 5th step. And I'm like having a heart attack over here. And I'm like, this obituary is horrible. Oh, and by the way, you're getting fat and you have to see these people that you haven't seen in a while. You look gross, you know? Get up earlier, stay up later, just don't sleep at night, just get everything done. And it was like, I couldn't control any of it. But the loudest voice of all was, God is mad at you. And that's all I kept hearing. And I'm like tearing up because I'm like hearing, God is mad at you. And when I feel like God is mad at me, I feel ashamed to even pray. I won't even talk to God. I won't even say the God word. I just kind of stay in my body for days on end. And every time I sat down to write my 4th step, I was completely frozen, completely blocked, full of panic. So I brought it to my group and I was fully expecting them to be like, all right, Elena, like nudge me along, get going, get this done ASAP. Because in my mind, it's like, you gotta get through the steps. You gotta work through them, you know, like your hair's on fire. Like that's what I kept hearing. But they didn't say that. And they said to put a hand on my heart They said to say the set aside prayers and all my prayers and just write. And that wasn't enough for me. Like, I needed them to tell me how bad I was, so then I'd be able to write it. I needed to feel like punished, so then somehow like I could be thwarted into like action, because gentleness and love like never worked for me. But if you tell me, you know, if you're threatening to take your love away, or if you're telling me I can't do something, like I'm all over it, you know? So I also believe that if the circumstances weren't perfect, if my life wasn't perfect, or if I wasn't in the perfect headspace to write my fourth step, then it wouldn't be perfect. And therefore I wouldn't get the program and I'm wasting all my time here. And they kept saying, hand on the heart, say your prayers and just write. And, you know, as much as I struggled with the idea that God actually heard my prayer, God was actually with me, like not sometimes, but all the time, like that never actually clicked for me. And then I even questioned, do I even mean what I'm saying in these prayers? Like every little chance I got to make myself wrong for something. And the honest answer is, yeah, sometimes it would just be words. And I wasn't really saying anything, or for me, it had to be like so meaningful when I spoke to God, but it wasn't, it really wasn't. And that was enough. So the process of writing my fourth step was the first, I would say like the first step in my new relationship with God. And I trusted that if I said my prayer, it was heard and I just needed to write. And so that was like the first instance of like God really showing me, you know, God will do for me what I can't do for myself. And I remember my sponsor saying to me, I'll never forget this, Elena, you cannot use your professional skills in the recovery space. And she's right. And that like rocked my entire world, because I was in this delusion that I have to do this right so God will accept me, so God will love me, you know, which is what I do everywhere in my life with all of my relationships. And you know what? It took me a really long time to complete my fourth and my fifth steps. It required me to ask for help, to trust complete strangers that weren't even in my workshop in BBA to hear, you know, those really most intimate, I would say, parts of me. And so the workshop had ended and I still hadn't completed my 6 through 12. And so to me, that would have been like completely unacceptable. And I struggled a lot with it not being on my timeline. But looking back, it was exactly the lesson that I needed to learn. I trusted God in a way that I never did before. And God came through for me. And I think it was, I don't know if we can say names here, so I won't. But somebody said in the workshop, faith is the result of results. And I can't bully myself into a faith that I don't have yet. You know, it just comes. So just keep doing the steps, keep taking action, you know. So it's like I started to allow my relationship with God to like unfold organically instead of forcing it, where God continues to show me who he is. And it's a two-way street and it's not something that I need to force. Which is what I was trying to do before. So now I'm kind of like applying that to my life. And I think a ton of my behaviors have decreased in intensity because I have this trust that life is organically unfolding instead of me needing to know. Like I have this incredible burning need to know. I need to know how it will end. I need to know how it's going to go. I need to know all the details. And now it's like, that's still there, but it's not as loud and all-encompassing. So I'm practicing, and it's a practice, like running to God several times a day, whereas before I'd like be running to meetings and running to service and running to my sponsor and running to fellows. And, you know, now I'm practicing running to God, and that's still developing. And I will tell you this, that God has worked a miracle in my household, and I know I know we don't have time today to go into my relationship and the codependency and how I act out with my husband. But I've had so many moments of pause where I haven't lashed out, or when I'm able to hold my tongue. And it's like life is still happening, but there's this like cool new, I don't know, like a chill filter between me and like the other side of this filter, where I'm able to be like, oh, okay, that happened, but I can kind of let it go. And, you know, I just want to share that I went on a vacation last month, and it was probably the best vacation that I've been on in 10 years, because usually the weeks leading up to it would be full of like tornadoes of me panicking about the plane ride, wanting to cancel it, you know, anxiety. And when I tell you that none of that happened, none of that happened, not the arguments, not the worry, not my house needing to be immaculate. And, you know, I'm just really, really, really grateful that I was able to trust that whole process, because I felt like I then had a partner, that I wasn't alone. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I've arrived anywhere, because like in the weeks that I've been back, it hasn't been all rainbows, but I'm learning that this BBA stuff is a process, and there's literally so much to unfold. I don't like that I'm human. I'd rather just like graduate from these steps and become Buddha, but you know, that's not happening. So I would think, you know, that
it's time, Elena.
Okay, great. So I'll just end by saying, like, I think the biggest thing that I get is that I'm no longer responsible for fixing myself. And that has been the most freeing thing that I could ever get out of this whole work. So thank you. I'm so grateful for that. Thanks again for letting me share.